23 verses in this great chapter, and I wish we had time to read them all, but we will not. So I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 of the 39th chapter of the book of Genesis. And I'll be speaking on the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. Nothing better could be said of a man than that God was with him. Nothing sadder than see a man in Knoxville, Tennessee, trying to live without God, trying to work without God, trying to ignore God and the presence of God. That's the saddest thing I know. I'm glad I'm not without him. Thank God he's with me, and I'm with him. Look at verse 1. If you have your Bible open, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar and the officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him to the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now here's the first time in verse 2 that it says the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And now verse 3, in the middle, you'll find it says again. Now notice, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he had, that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him oversee over his house and all that he put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Now I want you to look this way, and I'm stopping there to call them, but don't you listen to me. The only reason that you're blessed is for Jesus' sake.
Amen.
Now, brother, if we ever get that down, the only reason God ever blessed me, not because my name's Jackson, not because, but because of the Son of God who loved me and died for me, thank God, for Jesus' sake. I'm glad, I like that. Brother Louis, you're blessed tonight for Jesus' sake. And the Bible said that the Egyptian's house was blessed because Joseph was in that house. Joseph had God with him. That's the reason God blessed that house. All right, notice. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. I like that. And he knew not the ox he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Now, that's all I'm going to read, but keep your Bible open there. I want to show you something else. In verse 21, would you look, please? The third time in this chapter, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Praise God. He got in jail, but brother, they respected him down to jailhouse. I like that. You know, a lot of people think if you're a Christian, you've got to be mean as the devil. You don't have to snap at everybody passing by and chew a leg off. Bless God, you can at least be kind and sweet. And amen. So they'll know that you've been with Jesus. And the Bible said down in the prison, they knew that the Lord was with Joseph. Now, one other scripture here, I'm going to show you again. Four times in this chapter, verse 23. In fact, verse 23 in this chapter, it ends by saying the Lord was with him. Notice, and the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Oh, aren't you glad? Look at four times in one chapter. And the Bible said one thing about Joseph. You'll find the Lord was with him all the way. You'll find that the Lord was with him. Beloved, I want you to be seated all the house, if you will. Now I want you to bow your head for just a word of prayer. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to speak to you on the Lord was with Joseph. And I believe tonight that God will speak to our hearts. Father, I want to thank you for the good saying. Lord, I'm glad one day when we come to the last mile of the way, thank God we'll have someone waiting to carry us across. I'm glad, Lord, that you said that you'd never leave us or forsake us. And I bless your name tonight for the privilege of coming to house of God, and I thank you for your presence that you're with us, Lord. Oh God, you said where two or three are gathered in my name, there you'd be in the midst, to own and to bless, and I thank you for that tonight. Thank you for this good church, and Brother Stanley, bless him. Oh God, bless everyone that's come. Feed us tonight out of the Word of God. Lord, if you don't do it, we'll not be fed. We came hungry. We believe we'll go back and say that we've been at God's table, and we've been feasting on the table of God. I thank you for what you're going to do. Now, Lord, I pray especially for that one that you're lost. It's the divided and cut off and without God and without hope. May this be the night when he'll come to see his soul condition and to see that he's going to hell and to understand that he needs God. And I pray the sweet Spirit of God shall arrest him. And then I pray tonight, our Father, for every Christian that may be indifferent and cold in this service, may they draw nigh to God and may this be a wonderful time. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us. Oh, God, but thank you most of all. You came down to where we were. I'm glad you walked with me today. I'm glad that I can feel your presence now. I'm glad I stand where no one dares to stand alone. I'm glad that you're with me here in the pulpit. I'm glad you've been with me all day. Hallelujah. And I pray if there's nothing else that anybody gets out of this service, that they'll understand the presence of God and the presence of the Lord walking with us is the greatest thing that can ever be said about a church or a people or a preacher or a person. And we'll thank you for all you do for us, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want to speak to you on one of the great themes of the Bible, and that is the presence of God. I'm glad that God came down. Aren't you glad that he walked among men, that he died upon a cross, that he was raised from the dead, and he ascended back on high? But I'm glad he said, I'll send another. And when he is come, and I'm glad he came, praise the Lord, I'm glad he abides. He's inside. He's in the temple. And what a blessing that is to know that God's with us. My mother used to say to me as a little boy, come here, Mays, I want to tell you something. And I was a little mountain boy, didn't know anything. And that little precious mother would say, listen, if Jesus goes with you, you don't have to fear, son. I can hear her say that so many times. I didn't understand it, Jerry, when she used to say it. But I'll tell you, since I got grown and I've walked among enemies and walked among the foes of the gospel, I'm glad I've had somebody with me. I'm glad his presence is always with the child of God. And if I could get you to realize that tonight, it'd be a great blessing. Now, by way of introduction, quickly, let me show you three things, three places the Lord was with Joseph. First of all, he was with him in the pit, and that characterizes death. When his brothers threw him in that pit, I'm glad the Lord was in that pit. My friend, the place of death. Oh, Jesus tasted death for every man. And what a blessing that is tonight. I'm glad when I was in that pit, he came where I was. Praise the Lord and lifted me out of the deep miry clay. Set my feet on the solid rock. And I've been a shouting ever since. Amen. And the Lord was with Joseph in the pit. Number two, the Lord was with Joseph in the palace. That's the place of splendor. That was the place where he was tempted to get his eyes off of God. A lot of people, when they get around fancy things and glamorous things, let me tell you something, they lose sight of God. I'd rather have a shack by the side of the road, bless God, listen to me, and drink a branch water and eat cornbread and wear patch breeches and be able to see God than to have the finest mansion in Knoxville, Tennessee, and lose sight of God. There's a man, and he was in a palace, but all the sparkle didn't get his eye. Well, Joseph said, the Lord's with me, and he kept his eyes on God. It's easy to get your eyes on the things of this world, and a lot of people get their eyes on the palaces of this world. And then number three, the Lord was with him in prison. There he was, a crime that he hadn't committed. 2 years he sat on a cold slab. But I want to tell you, right next to him, the Holy Ghost would move up and say, honey, I'm with you all the way. Woo! Praise God. I'm glad the Lord was with him while he was in prison. And what a blessing that is. But if you've got your pencils tonight, I want to show you five places, especially, and they start with S, where the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph, number one, when he was a shepherd's lad. I mean, just a little old boy. Listen, let me say something. The best thing you can say about your child is that your child knows God. Not that your child is trying to become famous, but that your child humbles the Lord Jesus Christ. Suffer the little children to come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And brother, when I see a little child, like I saw Rick's little boy, the hand of God on him, I said, praise the Lord. I'm glad that God was with Joseph as when he's out there taking care of those sheep. You say, how do you know he's with him out there in three things? First of all, he was with him in his devotion. You see, Joseph was different. Let me say this to you. It pays to be different. He's devoted to God. He's devoted to spiritual things. And I believe this. And I can tell you something might confuse you. I'm going to tell you anyway. I hope you don't get confused. I knew I was called to preach, and I was the size of that boy right there. Long time before I was saved, I used to come home and tears would sink down my cheeks, and my mother would say, what you crying about me? I'd say, honey, Mama, I got to preach. And I'd say, I don't want to get saved. My mother would say, you get in the cart before the horse. But I'll tell you, I used to preach to the chickens and the dogs and the cats. Praise God, let me tell you something. I had the best time. I did everything but take up a collection. Praise God. Now I want to tell you something. I knew that God had his hand on me. And brother, I was devoted to that. Let me show you something. My children, just like yours, there's something wrong with them. I know they say, oh, nothing on mine. No, nothing that a good stick wouldn't take care of a lot of times. Say amen right there. Amen. You say, well, I wouldn't whip my child. That's what he's so mean. Say amen. Amen. That's the reason he's so mean. But I want to tell you something. My middle boy, my pastor, and he, as far as I know, he never did go out like the others. I mean, never did. You know what he used to do when he was 14 years old? He'd say, Mama, I can't drive. Take me down to the church. He was Sunday school superintendent of a little independent Baptist church out in Atlanta. Had 15 in Sunday school. And he's 14 years old. You know what he'd do? My wife would take him down there. And he'd say, come back to me about 2 hours from now. He'd go in and put on one light. And he'd go from every pew and say, God, whoever comes tomorrow, if they sit on this pew, God, electrify it with the Holy Ghost. And he'd pray for every pew in that church. He'd go up to the over to the piano and he'd say, God, Miss Harvey's going to play this piano tomorrow. He'd lay his hand on that piano and say, God, may your hands and your fingers strike the right notes. And may she play better than she'd ever played. He'd go to that little organ, that big rock Baptist church, lay his hand on that organ, and then he'd take his shoes off. A little boy of mine, take his shoes off and stand up there, and the tears run down his cheeks, and he'd say, God, this is where my preacher's going to stand tomorrow. God help him with the reach. And old Jack told me, he said, Mays, I want to tell you something. I felt his prayers and the devotion of that kid of yours. Said, I want to tell you something. He's got the hand of God on him. He's devoted. Listen to me. I believe that Joseph, as a shepherd's man, he had the hand of God on him. It is devotion. Secondly, it is dress. You see, he didn't dress like the rest of them. You say, why? Because he had a coat of many colors. It was a coat of splendor. It was a special kind of a coat. Oh, it's a coat that his daddy gave him to signify the spirituality of the Hebrews. And I want to tell you something. I believe, and I don't get up here and harp every night on long hair and all this stuff. I don't have to. You know what I believe. Say amen right there. I don't have to get up here and harp about you women not dressing right. Bless God, y'all didn't dress right. Say amen. I don't waste my time all the time up here gagging over little things. Now, my son does. Boy, every Sunday he has to gag everything it wiggles. I mean, he gags everything. If you think I'm strong, you ought to come hear him. I mean, if you don't part your hair right, son, he calls you back after church, ask you what happened this morning. Now, I'm not quite that bad, but let me say something to you. I want you to know that this boy, he dressed with splendor. His daddy made him a coat of many colors. And boy, they knew that God was with him. Nobody dressed like he dressed. Devoted and dressed right. And the third thing about him, he dreamed right. Now, he had special dreams from God. And oh, let me tell you something. It's like a vision. And when a church can't dream, and a church can't have a vision, and a preacher can't have a vision, brother, you might as well close that door. I believe that the fields are wide and the harvest. The labors are few. Somebody's waiting for me to come tell them about Jesus. Somebody's waiting on you. And Joseph was a dreamer. Oh, he had dreams of great things. Dreams of great things. Let me give you that. I don't talk about our church, and I won't do it after tonight. But my son said the other day, he said, Daddy, we're going to buy all that cattle. And we're going to buy this all the way back to the highway. He said, we'll have it. I said, well, what do you want? He said, I see great things here for Jesus. Oh, he said, Daddy, you don't see it, do you? I said, no, I'm going to be honest. Bless God, I don't see it. Amen. I wasn't going to lie to him. I wasn't see it. He saw it. I didn't see it. But you know what? He looked out there and he said, Daddy, I see it. You know what Joseph looked out and said? He said, I see that one day I'll be on a throne. I dreamed that my brothers would come and kneel before me. He was a dreamer. Brother, he had a vision. How we need that. Oh, how God's people need to see what God wants to do. Are you listening to me? God was with him. Oh, and he was a shepherd's lad. Secondly, God was with him when he was sold to the Ishmaelite caravan. Oh, they thought they'd never hear from him. They said, oh boy, we're selling you to that crowd of infidels and atheists that don't even believe in our God. And they said, Joseph, bye! They never expect to see him again. And when the Ishmaelites took him down to Egypt, every step of the way, I want you to know God was with Joseph. And brother, when he was sold, God was with Joseph. Now let me say a couple of things about this. You see, he was betrayed by his own brothers. Now the longest night I ever had was when my best friend stabbed me. Oh, did you know an enemy can't stab you? You won't let him get that close. But you wait till your best friend turns his back on you. You wait till you're betrayed and sold by the best friend. It'll be the longest night you've ever had. Many a good pastor has been betrayed by a church congregation and kicked out of merciless. And he's gone out of a church. And I want to tell you, these churches that do such, they're going to face God one of these days. Brother, they're going to answer to God. For the way they betrayed a man of God. Brother, we ought to stand for the man of God. You ought to grab this man's hands and hold him up and say, bless God, I'm standing with the man of God because he's God's man. And what a blessing it is. But they sold him. But they said, boy, we're selling you. But God was with him. Sold him. He's being betrayed. But God was with him. Being betrayed by his own brothers. Now, I have a sermon. I asked Wayne tonight, I said, you have that sermon, Wayne? He said, yes. I thought I'd lost it, and I'd forgotten the outline, but I think it's one of the best sermons ever preached on the blessings. Now listen to me, the blessings of betrayal. I mean the blessings of being stabbed in the back. You say, there ain't no blessings there. No one in the Bible was betrayed that didn't bring forth blessings. Every person in the Bible that was stabbed, oh, you hear me, betrayed, a blessing came out of that. A blessing came out of that. They sold and betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. I'm so glad redemption came. When Judas sold our Lord for 30 pieces of silver and 30 shekels of shame. They sold him out. And I want you to know, mister, I'm glad when Joseph was sold to the Ishmaelite caravan, as he went down that road, the Lord was with him. When the Lord's with you in the night, when you're disappointed and you've had to drink the bitter cup and you don't know where to turn and you don't think that you can trust anybody. You know, let me give you something tonight. You may not understand this. I'm gonna give you something tonight. You probably leave here and say I'm crazy, but think it through before you go, will you? And I'm going to say singer's wife, too. Jeremiah will put you in this. Every preacher's wife is skeptical of people. You know why a preacher's wife? She's seen so many betray her husband. No wonder the preacher's kids sometimes come up and don't understand. Oh, when they see their daddy go sacrifice. And let me tell you something. I've never sacrificed. But God, I want you to know, God's never had to sacrifice. I may have to start tonight, but bless God, I'm eating ate good tonight. Best you ever saw. But listen to me. I know preachers have sacrificed and gone without. And you hear me? They've really let their family go barefooted and had nothing on the table. And then all they got from it was to be kicked out and lied on and betrayed and sold down the river. And I've never seen a preacher's wife do. Now, maybe Catholic, I don't know. that my wife even, and I never been betrayed about church, and I never have. Now, I'm not here, I won't lie to you, but I've seen a lot of good preachers that have been betrayed. And oh, let me tell you something, it's hard for their family to ever understand. It's hard! But I want you to know, as long as you know Jesus is with you, praise God, you don't have to worry down the road. There may be darkness, and there may be long nights, and there may be empty pocketbooks, and there may be bare cupboards, but you hear me tonight, if Jesus goes with him. Joseph was sold, but the Lord was with him. Now notice number three, please. I'll give you five places that God was with Joseph. In the third place, that Joseph found the Lord was with him when he was seduced by a wicked woman. I mean, the master, the Pharaoh, left the house and left it in the hands of Joseph. And Joseph, clean and pure and honorable, the Bible said he was a goodly person. The Bible teaches he is favored. He was righteous in the sight of God. You know what the book says? And while that man was gone, that old woman came in, and she got her eye on Joseph. And she looked at him a good while. If you don't read it, read that chapter. And then she said, come lie with me. My husband's gone. In other words, nobody ever knew anything about it. A lot of people in Knoxville, Tennessee, is slipping around here committing sin. And they think nobody knows about it. But I want to tell you something. Bless God, there's an eye that's watching you. And you may not be found out here, but you'll be found out at the judgment. You're going to be found out. God's going to expose it one day. And she came to Joseph and said, I like you, Joseph. You appeal to me. I want you to lie with me. And old Joseph said, how can I do this wicked thing? And sin, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You say, what did he do? He trusted, and it hadn't even been written. 1 Corinthians 10:13 said, with every temptation, God will make a way of escape. And brother, you don't have to run around here and dip your colors and run after every church in the country. I'll tell you, bless God, preachers ought to live clean too. Amen. Say amen. Ought to live clean. I ordained my son to preach, and I want to tell you this. It goes to the sermon. I set him down right in front of me. Right out there in the chair. And if I've ever preached a hard sermon to anybody, I preached it to my son. And one of the things I said, if you're going out here and preach for gain, get up out of that church. You're not fit to preach. I said, if you're going out here to preach to be popular, get out of that chair. You're not fit to preach. And then I looked down at my boy, and the tears just streaming down his cheeks. And he's a nice looking fellow. He's not like me. He's skinny. And he's tall, he's got a lot of hair. Well, I used to have as much as liberace, but something happened to mine up there. I mean, I lost it all. But I looked at him and I said, Nolan, if you're going to let some little old Jezebel pass you in the future with all the eyebrows jerked out but one and a half over here and two on this side, and bless God, you're going to run after some little old Jezebel and some petticoat. I said, you get up out of that chair. You're not fit to handle the Word of God and to preach behind the sacred desk. And he stood and said, by the help of God, I'll be true. Oh, Joseph said to that woman, I can't sin. I've got to be true to my God because he's here with me. And he's made a way of escape for me. And what a blessing it is to know that God will make us stay. Yes. Now let's come to the fourth thing. I've got to hurry. Listen to me. Oh, you say, preacher, the Lord was with him when he stood before the brethren. The Bible says that when Joseph came out in Egypt and saw that his own brothers had come back to buy corn, that, oh, the Lord was with him. I imagine the devil said, get in with him. I imagine the devil said, here's your chance. Look what they did to you. Get even with them. But God was with him. And it broke his heart and went out well. Amen. And you know what the Bible said? And he showed kindness. Oh, he showed kindness. Thank God. You know what that means? It means he showed grace to those brothers that didn't deserve grace. I'm glad that God gave me grace. I didn't deserve it, but praise God, God gave it. Grace. Marvelous grace. Hallelujah. Nothing like that grace. Praise the Lord. And the Bible said he showed him kindness. showed them kindness, and he did two things for them. I'll give you that in just a moment. Let me show you something. I'd say it's hard sometimes when you stand before or stand at the place where you've been talked about. Here about 2 years ago, a man wrote a little newspaper in Columbus, North Carolina. I'm on Raggett, Big Raggett, Gaffney, four times a day. That disturbed this guy up at Columbus because he didn't like me, and he's never seen me. He didn't like me, and he's never been in my home. He didn't like me, and he's never been in the church where I ever preached. He didn't like me, and he'd never seen me. You know what he didn't like? He didn't like when I was a preaching brother. And you know what he did? He wrote an article on me, a long article, on the editorial page, and it's across the top, said, "Meet Brother Mays," and he spelled Mays wrong. And then he started down and said, "Do you know that coon cat from Atlanta, Georgia?" And brother, he took me apart. I mean, he scalded me, and he's never seen me, he don't know me, just heard me over the radio. And he called me everything but a gentleman. And boy, Brother Rat Sexton called me when he got a copy. He said, "Mate, don't worry, I'll call my lawyer. I mean, we'll fix that guy." I said, "Rat, thank you, you're kind, you're sweet, and you're considerate, but I don't need your lawyer. I've got another lawyer, praise God, that can be touched. And praise the Lord, he always taking care of my case." It wasn't long till I got another call. Rayton Puckett up here. I've been with Rayton ever since his kids were little kids are babies, and they're all married now. I've been with him every year. Rayton Puckett. I was with him four churches in North Carolina, one in Virginia here. Five churches through 25 years. I've been with Rayton Puckett every year. And boy, when his boy works in the bank came in and said, "Papa, I ain't fought since God saved me, but I'm going down and whip that Edwards guy if I don't do anything else." And he said, "Steve!" And Rayton's youngest boy got up and said, "What's the matter?" He said, "That's mean you go down and whip that guy for what he wrote about Brother Mays." And Rayton called me and said, "Mays, I had to hold him. They're going down and whip him." I said, "Well, I'm glad you held him." I said, "Rayton, you want me to tell you something?" I said, "I turned that over to my wife. I said, she's the best in the world. She can blister. I said, she can say more. I said, I want her to write that bird a letter, tack his hide on every wall up there. And I said, I want her to tell him a piece of her mind." And I said, "That's all right, Rayton. God will take care of it. I laid it on her desk in Atlanta." A couple of days later, I said, "Doc, did you write Edwards and give him a piece of your mind?" She said, "Not yet. I'm praying about it." I thought, "Lord God, you don't have to pray about that. Just chew him out. Chew him out." Way out there, just chew him out. I was off the meeting. I called about 3 days later. I said, "Doc, did you write that letter?" She said, "Not yet, I'm praying." And then about 2 days after that, I called her and I said, "Doc." She said, "Yeah, I wrote it. I want to read it. I want to read it to you." And she wrote the sweetest, kindest letter I ever heard. I broke down and cried on the other end of the phone. She said, "How is that?" I said, "It's the best I've ever heard." She invited him down to our house to eat, and she invited him down to the office to look over her books and to be with us. And boy, I felt so bad. When I hung up, I prayed an hour and a half asking God to forgive me. You see, I didn't have the right idea. I didn't have the right spirit. And as I stood before my enemies, I didn't show kindness. I didn't show kindness. Brother, the Bible says, are you listening? And he showed him kindness. First he showed those brothers that had the blood even upon their hands. He showed them kindness. And then he said, "My papa, my old dad, go and tell him I'm alive. And I want to show kindness. Bring him here." And he brought him down to Egypt, and Joseph kept him up for 17 years. He let his daddy live like a king. Oh, you say, "Brother Mays, the Lord was with him when he stood before his brothers." And the devil could have said, "Chew him out." But he fell on their necks and kissed them and forgave them. And I want to tell you something, brother. It's easy for us to get to the place tonight where we don't forgive. It's easy for us to get to a place, brother, where we hold bitterness in our hearts and where we hold spite and where we will not forgive. But brother, when he stood before them, he showed them kindness. Now I want to say something to you. I don't know why I'm saying this, but you need to see it. You need to show kindness to your family. Some of you come up here to church to be so nice, and then you go home and bite like a mad dog. Say amen right there. I mean, your kids and your wife scared, and you come up here to church, and oh,
Is that the way it is too? God, you see, she laughed. That's right. But I don't know. Now, she didn't say. She just looked at her husband and gave him a hard look, and then she started laughing. But as sure as you did. Baba, we need show kindness. Some of you heard me tell this. My oldest boy, I was too hard on my oldest boy. I mean, you say, preacher, can't. Yeah, I was. I was too hard on my oldest boy. I didn't treat him right. And when he was in about the seventh grade, he came in. Maybe it's the sixth grade. I can't remember. And he said, Daddy, can I go up to school tonight? We're having a little class party for school, just in my place. I said, no, you can't. I don't want you around that ungodly crowd. He said, well, I'll be with them. I go to school with them every day, Daddy. I said, no, you can't. That's it. We went to the supper table that night. Sit down. I saw that he's crying a little, and I said, Lord, you need some prayer. And he said, dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for saving me. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for a good mother and two good brothers. In Jesus' name, amen. And I said, uh-huh. Devil got me. Of course, the devil had been in me. And I didn't do right about the thing. You see, I wasn't right. But I said, Lord, I'll get even with him. I'll get even. I didn't have the right spirit. You know you've done the same thing. I mean, there's been times when the bread burnt, and you said, I'll get even with her. There's been times when your kids didn't come in time. And brother, you should have rebuked them, but you didn't have the right spirit. You see, you've got to have the right spirit. And it's hard for me to have the right spirit with them, too. You know that? I mean, it's hard. Now, some of you are more sanctified than I am, but I did it hard. But I said, well, I'll fix him. So we had family altar that night, and I didn't pray for him. I went to bed that night, and about 12 o'clock, I was turning. My wife said, Mays. I said, yes, yeah, what's the matter with you? She said, would you like me to get a term? I said, no, if you turn over and go to sleep, bless God, everybody will be all right around the Jackson house. See, I was even blaming her. And 1 o'clock came, and I said, Lord, I've got to go to sleep, and I've got to make tapes and go for the Bible. Lord, give me some sleep. And he said, get up and go across the hall and tell that boy that you didn't have the right spirit. And tell him that you want him to forgive you. And I said, Lord, I'm a preacher. He said, I know, and that's when you're going to do it. Praise God, preacher, no preacher. And I just argued with God and fussed. And about 2 o'clock, I said, now, Lord, if I go over and wake him up, he'll be nervous at school tomorrow. God, if I go over and wake him up, I said, he won't be able to sleep the rest of the night. The Lord said, just make up your mind. Just either go over there or stay awake all night. About 2:30. I put my feet on the edge of the bed, and I said, praise the Lord. And I said, praise God, nothing. I said, you better pray while I go across this hall. And boy, I said, I don't want to wake him up and fight him. And I started out, and I opened the door, and standing there in the hall, guess who was standing there? My oldest son, this little boy. The tears were streaming down his cheeks. And I said, what are you doing this hall? He said, I ain't been able to go to sleep. I didn't have the right spirit. And I've been here an hour and a half waiting to come in your room and tell you I love you and I want you to forgive me. And boy, I grabbed him around the neck and I said, hush! Let me do some confessing. Praise God, I got to get straight now. And I confessed and we shouted out there in the hall. My wife raised up and said, what are y'all doing out there in the hall? I said, go to sleep. We're having a camp meeting. Glory to God. I want to tell you things got right. But oh, the spirit can be wrong. And how wrong it could have been with Joseph when he stood before his brethren. But he had the right spirit. God was with him. And he showed a godlike compassion to his brothers and a godlike love to his brothers. And that's what we're to show in this day in which we live. God was with him when he stood. Now, listen to the last thing. God was with him when he was sealed in his coffin. Listen up to the last verse in Genesis 50:26. It says, and Joseph died, 110 years old. They embalmed him. And today, we don't know how to embalm like the Egyptians. Brother, they knew how to embalm. They embalmed him. And the next part of that verse said, and they put him in a coffin in Egypt. They put him in a coffin in Egypt. But did you know when they sealed that coffin, the hope of his God was sealed in there. God was with him. Because when you get home tonight, if you will turn to 2 Kings chapter 9, 12 and verse 9, it talks about a chest, C-H-E-S-T. And that chest was called a hope chest. You ladies know what a hope chest is? My wife had a hope chest before we got married. And every once in a while, somebody would give her something. She'd put it in that hope chest. And after the wedding, she let me help open the hope chest.
And she said, Maeve, I've been waiting a long time to look over these things. And she took them out one by one, and she rejoiced. She opened her oak chest. Did you know that that word coffin in Genesis 50 and verse 26 has the same meaning as that chest does in 2 Kings chapter 12 and verse 9? It means a oak chest. And when they put seal in that oak chest, he had hope. Glory to God. He wasn't putting a coffin. He placed in a hope chest. And when a Christian dies, it's not a coffin, brother, it's a hope chest. What a blessing it is. Oh, when you took that girl out there, you took that boy out there, sealed that coffin, you wouldn't see a coffin. You see the whole chest of jewels. And one day Jesus is coming back to open up the whole chest of jewels. And brother, when the trumpet sounds and the voice of an archangel, brother, listen, those whole chests are going to break up. And the jewels are coming out. Thank God they placed Joseph and they sealed in a whole chest. And what a blessing it was. What a blessing it was. The day I stood at the grave and said, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. And I threw some over on my daddy's casket. I went over and sat down. It was raining that day, just a little sprinkle rain. And I sat down between my mother and my wife. And then my brother was next to mother. I don't have but one brother. And I sat down. And over just about 100 yards, something like this sounded. Da, da, da. And when he sounded that taps one time, something like this sounded. And they gave a salute to my daddy. And when they finished with that gun salute, he gave taps one more time. And I had my head bowed, and I could hear my mother snubbing. And I could hear my wife crying, and I couldn't cry to save my life. But I had my head bowed. And when I had my head bowed, the Holy Ghost said, look up, Mays. Look up! And I looked out over that tent, and the rain is coming down. It's a cloudy day. You couldn't see the sun. And you know what the Holy Ghost whispered to me? Said, son, that morning, son, they're going to sound another horn for your daddy. And he won't be taps. It'll be reveille. Oh! Said, there won't be any rain. There won't be any clouds in the sky. And said, your daddy's going to come out of it. And brother, when they finished, and I got up and shook hands, and the other preacher shook hands with my mother and my wife and them. I went over and laid my hands on my daddy's coffin. And I said, Daddy, I put you in a coat chest. And some morning you're going to come out of there. Yeah. Thank God it wasn't a coffin. It was a hope chest. Amen. I had a lady at my church, and she was a great Christian. I mean, a sweet Christian, loved God with all of her heart. But she had a daddy's infant. Everybody in Bishopsville, South Carolina, hated him. No church had anything to do with him. He'd come up there to see his daughter in Columbia. He'd come out of my church and sit in the back and make fun. You say, what'd you do? I cried. I'm sorry for him. Any man that don't believe in God, you ought to cry for him. Any man that don't believe there's death and hell and eternity, brother, you need to weep. And because of his sweet daughter and her husband, there's fine members of mine. Now, I preach hard to my people, but I love them. Bless God, I'd go through the fire for my members. I'd chew them out on Sunday, but bless God, I'd be with them when they needed me on Monday. I would. And I believe that every preacher would. He loves his people. And I remember one day she called me and she said, Daddy died. And he said, I know it's 100 miles to Bishop. And I'll pay for your gas. I said, no, you won't pay for my gas. She said, would you go and preach a funeral? I said, yes, ma'am. I'll go and give a gospel message. That's all I told her I'd do. You see, he didn't believe in God. He didn't believe in hell. But I had to respect my member. She loved Jesus. And the more I remember, I went up there, and I followed him all the way down to Bishopville. I stayed there in a motel that night to comfort that member, her husband. Next day, we had that funeral home. No church would let him bring him in there. They wouldn't even drag that only Fidel in there. And I got up and preached on how I know my Redeemer. And boy, I cried and I shouted because I believed that one day he'd stand on the earth. And I'd see him. Though the earthworms destroy this place, I said, I'll see my God. He lives. And when
When I got through, they wanted to come by. The family didn't view the box. And I didn't feel like nosing in there. He had about 8 or 10 grown kids. I stood there and kindly said, "Praying for you." But Betty, when my member got out, and her husband, I went away. I said, "I want to walk with you." And I got on one side, her husband on the other, and we had to carry her. And we stood there, and she looked over, and she said, "Daddy, this is the last time I'll ever see you." "Daddy!" She said, "You didn't believe in Jesus and God in heaven. And Daddy, I love you. I wish I wouldn't have to say bye to you." And boy, I stood there. Undertaker motioned me to get her away. I said, "Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I thank you for being kind. I know that we shouldn't care that long, but let her just take a minute longer." And she looked over and she rubbed his hand. He kissed it. It was cold. And she said, "Thank you, Daddy. You didn't treat me nice, thank you." And then the hardest thing I ever heard anybody say, she looked up at me and she said, "Brother Mays, I'll never see him when they drop that lid. This is the last time I'll get to see him. You'll have to drag me away." And her husband gave her a sign. He and I pulled her away and sat her down. Undertaker came and closed that coffin lid. Are you listening? It wasn't a whole chest. It was a coffin. There wasn't any hope there. But oh, when they sealed Joseph in that coffin. That same word for coffin is found over there in the hope chest. In 2 Kings chapter 12 and verse 9. Thank God. I'm glad the Lord was with him when they sealed him in his coffin. And the Lord will be with him when he comes back again. Oh, praise the Lord. The Bible said 4 times. And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord. Every head bowed and eye closed. Thank you for listening. 4 times they said, "No more." In that one chapter, 4 times in one chapter, chapter 39, and the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with him when he was a shepherd lad. Just a little boy, God was with him. The Lord was with him when he was sold by his own brethren down in the Egyptian bondage. The Lord was with him when a wicked woman tried to seduce him. The Lord was with Joseph when he stood and looked those boys that wanted to murder him in the face. And then the Lord was with him when he was 110 and he died and they see him in that coffin in Egypt. Thank God they put him in a hoop chest. They laid him over the rest in a hope chest. Father, I want to thank you tonight. Oh, my hope is built on the rest. In Jesus' blood and righteousness, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being with Joseph. But Lord, I want to thank you for being with us tonight. I want to thank you that when I get up in the morning, you're with me. When I lie down at night, you're with me. I want to thank you when this good day is, you're with me. When I have bad days, you're with me. Lord, I want to thank you for these precious people on this Friday night that came to Olivet. And may, if they don't get anything else out of this service tonight, may they know that in the morning you'll be there. And when tears fall, you'll be there. And when there's laughter, you'll be there. And when the sun shines, you'll be there. And when the clouds hang low, you'll still be there. Bless everyone. Now, Lord, there's people here that need God. And there's Christians that need a closer walk. Speak to every heart. In Jesus' name. Now, keep your head back just a moment while she prays. I want you to listen now. Praise God. Won't you listen? All to Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe old Joseph had all he had for people. I don't believe he kept anything back. I believe it was all the altar of sacrifice laid. His heart was spirit controlled. I want to ask you something. Is that your case tonight? Have you faith at all?